15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. So if you go to your dial and you tune into 860, you'll get our broadcast, and then call around and invite others to tune in because we always have a lot of information to share. Also, those of you that received the email this morning inviting you to tune in, why not email that to a family member or friend? And we will be sending out an email with today's rebroadcast to everyone that has been part of our e-list. I'd like to mention that on the very front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, on the right side, there is Join Our E-List. All you do is put in your name and your email, and we'll put you on the list to get the emails once a week to let you know that the radio's on and send you a rebroadcast. Also, there is a link for the Buy American app by Go for Made in the USA. It tells you exactly how to get the new app that we're promoting, and I'm very pleased to hear so many people are on apps and computers, and some have direct access to through what is it called, iRadio and all. It is unbelievable. But the most important thing that happens to me in any given week is I attend a number of events. And as I attend those events, people stop and say, I like what I hear. I only wish that more of this was being stated in the news media, the real big outlets, the Foxes, the CNNs, and the evening news. It's just not going to happen too soon, because bear in mind that the people who are on the stations, selling for the stations, are selling to merchandisers, many of whom are offering 100% foreign-made products. So as to not to offend them, they try to avoid that thing. But on American Workers Radio and on many of the programs that rebroadcast my weekly Saturday commentary, they're able to do that and talk about it during their broadcast. I'd like to thank the 20 radio broadcasters that replay my announcement each and every week, because it is very impressive to hear that we are out there getting our message out to the public. And yet when the public tunes in anytime on their regular television stations or their radio stations, they're not getting that information. Very unfortunate. I ask also that you go to our internet site and check out all the links that we have. As you know, this year we're promoting Support the American-Made Label, which is 100% helpful to all of the industries that have been in America for a long time and want to stay here. Also, I want to, before I go to our distinguished panel members present with us today, I want to acknowledge the fact that National Small Business Weekend has become bigger and bigger and bigger here and there, and we're trying to make it bigger and bigger everywhere. So anything you can do to spread the word about National Small Business Weekend, there's a link right on the front page of American Workers Radio. Please don't hesitate to do so. Our distinguished panel members each week, people who take their time and their energy to share that good news with you, unrehearsed, are Mark Andel, as you know, the well-known founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, small business advocate and mentor for SCORE, which helps people preparing to open a business. Very important job. You can check out Larkin on the internet. I do not believe he will be with us today. And Rich Logis, the very popular man who's the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And you can know more about Rich by going on, clicking on his picture. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. And as per the FCC, I must give all those introductions. And from time to time, guys, let the people know who you are when you're saying this is Mark or whatever. So we're getting a lot of new listeners. And also, which is really great, I love this too, our Saturday broadcast is a variety program. So some of the people who started listening on Wednesday are now tuning in on Saturday as well. So it is really very interesting that we've, you know, brought together a lot of people. Last week, we were honored to have as our special guest, James Stuber, the author of a book with a good message, What If Things Were Made in America Again? I'm hoping that Jim will be able to join us today so we can have another opportunity to speak with him. And I know that Mr. Stuber attended a very special event this past weekend. And I know that Mark is with us. And I'm going to ask Mark, give us a little report on what happened with you this past weekend and our last weekend's special guest. Mark.
Yeah. How you doing, Mike, Rich, and Henry? Mike, it was just an outstanding weekend. You know, we had our 7 year, seven store, 7,000 product event. And, you know, none of us could believe 7 years went by. But, you know, in Buffalo, it's hard to get that right weather, and our May has been very tough. But last Saturday, which was Armed Forces Day 2, it was about 40 degrees in the morning. So wearing a T-shirt like I had on was very cold. But the day ended up being between 60 and 70, the sun out, and, you know, God again gave us that great day, and people came. We had 1,000 plus, and just a beautiful day. And yeah, Jim Stuber surprised me, our new radio guest friend, with his new book, and ended up doing a signing. And Mike, that book is 2 inches thick, and boy, did he do his homework. He's one of us. He believes, he loves America, spent a lot of time in D.C. His family, again, you know, was all steel manufacturing people. He was grew up in Pittsburgh, and just Jim was just awesome. He got to meet the family and our team, and I think he had a good time, and we'll ask him if he comes on about his time. But his book is really well done, and you guys have to get a copy. He did sign me a copy. A lot of people bought it Saturday, and just it's really, really a lot of homework, and I think it answers and brings up a lot of and raises a lot of questions we have. But just a great day. We honored our veterans again with Memorial Day coming up, guys. This is a big day to say thank you, you know, a big weekend to say thank you to our veterans and all those that served yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, you know, we do that every day. We shouldn't just wait for a weekend. But we had a wonderful, wonderful weekend, Mike.
And how did Ricky Lee do?
Oh, Ricky did great. You know, Rick, high-energy Rick, they came up from Altoona, PA, drove up. Billy Bratner, the three-time war hero, which manages Rick, you know, he ended up getting stopped a couple times. We were always laughing about getting up here. You know, they got a lot of stories. They've done West New York over 100 times in the 6 years. And Rick was awesome. We had two bands, and Rick's got some new songs. I believe he's down in Nashville today recording. But he's still, you know, Rick just goes, you know, he's part of the team. And we had two buses in, one bus from Wisconsin, and the people came in. We guided them in. I welcomed them. They came, and they didn't know they were getting this event, guys. You know, so they come in, they see these bands and the party, the food truck, and alpacas, and they're wondering what's going on. And then another bus from Ohio, Rhonda and Perry Griffin brought great people I met out in Constitution, Ohio, where the Constitution passed years ago. They did a surprise bus, so both these buses stayed. They didn't want to leave. They stayed 3-4 hours. The group leaders were mad. The driver's like, we got to get going. They didn't want to leave because they were having such a good time. They said this was the best time they ever had. Again, they thought we kind of pulled the event off for them, but Rick sang to the whole bus. They had all the 56 people singing. We just had a great, great time.
Well, that's really what it's all about. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what?
Good American
what is
time.
What's great about your opportunity last Saturday for people is you brought people to a positive place. You talked about positive things. They listened to positive music, and they were motivated. They will be motivated to go out and support more American-made things. Before I get on to another subject, I want to ask Rich. Rich Loges, how are you doing? And you saw some of the pictures from the book signing and all last weekend.
Michael, good morning, Mark, and to our listeners, and sorry that... Sorry, Larkin can't be with us today. I look forward to having him on next week. So, Mark, I want to, as they do in the never-ending congressional hearings, I want to yield my time on the floor to you so you can ask our listeners what you asked us all today in your email. Can you repeat that for all of us?
Absolutely. Glad you read it, Rick. You know, basically, you know, Mike, Henry, Rich, I said, how do we get everybody in the country aligned again? How do we start getting everybody back on the same track? How did we get so divided? But what's the answer? I believe in one country, one goal. Let's get healthy. Let's get self-sufficient. And, you know, I do it here by building a positive team. But how do we get this country back in line and all agree we ain't both 100% right if there's different sides? Because at the Made in America story, I said, we're for America. We're not an R thing, a D thing, a union thing, a non-union thing. We're about our country. And when foreigners come in from China, Taiwan, wherever, they love our store. They love what we do. They believe in supporting the country you live in. And when they buy a product here, they want to take back a piece from our country. They don't want to buy something they can buy back home. I hear this all again, but my question is, how do we start getting all the people on the same train and on the same track and start getting this country going in one positive direction?
Well, you know, Mark, I would just like to say to that, if the national news media would do something more with their time other than trying to look down at things, we'd have a whole different America. But they are doing it as a business to make things, everything is bad. I mean, does anybody want to go to school and the teacher is telling you everything is bad? You go home, everything is bad. You go on the street, everything is bad. They don't want to tell us any of the good news that's happening around us. We just had an enormous amount of people, young people, graduating from various universities. They're out of jobs. Some have jobs, some don't have jobs. But let's talk about what we should be doing to make sure that those young people have a job to go to. Let's get them back with resumes 3 years before they are ready to graduate. You know, when I talk to some of the graduates, I say, do you have a resume? Basically, I'm getting it ready. This is at graduation, so okay. Who am I? No counselor asks them. No counselor says, well, this is a requirement 1 year before you graduate. I want to see an assessment of you, what you think of yourself. Would you want to hire yourself if you got that resume? There's nobody doing that, Mark. You and I and Rich and Larkin and Jim, there are just a lot of people that I meet in my travels, young, old, and in between, who have so many good things to say, but they have no outlets to do it.
You know, we've got to get more positive again, you know, this news. And if maybe our president, which I have had so many people say, you know, regardless what a democracy, you get a president, you should let him try his 4 years. We've got to get on the same, you know, what we're seeing. You watch the news to get educated. You try to see what's going on. But if it's not educating you, if it's just one side, you should shut it off. At this point, we have to get positive. You know, they come to the store, they're happy. I had the bus yesterday from Pennsylvania, New York border, and they loved it because they were having fun. It was nice to see people smile and having fun, not one-sided. You know, so how do we do it? I think talking positive ourselves, how we approach it, how we agree we're not 100% right on whatever our beliefs are. But I think with Trump, with the media, I think people have to understand the media is way too one-sided. I'm talking to people on our TV, our local stations, that have never seen nothing like this in their 30, 40 years.
Well, you know, Mark, part of that, and Rich, you tell me, you were in the media, and I go around to several media events each month. Some people don't like the way the election went. Not that they don't like Trump, but they predicted otherwise, and their predictions didn't come true. There are many even people in the state of Pennsylvania, these poll takers and all, who said, oh, it's going to be this, and it's going to be by so many points, and it's going to be a massacre and everything else. None of it turned out the way they wanted. The night of the election, they were almost in tears because they predicted a whole different outcome. And if it was a whole different outcome, they may have been able to generate more money from the people who are bringing the foreign products in, taking away our jobs, the people who escorted all of our jobs out of the United States during the last 30 years are now upset because this new person is saying, I may tariff you if you bring it in. If you take it out, I may tax you. I mean, it's a whole new world. People are seeing a whole new world that we haven't seen probably in 30 years.
But, Mike, would you agree, and Rich, we have to communicate. If you don't communicate, you have no conversation. But we have to. How do we get people? How do we ourselves just make a little change, say, hey, you know, it's not perfect. Let's try this. You know, the new president, we should all agree that Washington's broke.
Yes, it's broken.
I think we have to agree. You can't like how it was running. If you're working for a living, you get tired of it.
But, you know, Mark, I want to add this to you, and I know that Jim Stuber is with us, so we're going to welcome him next. But every person promoting the Buy American Made campaigns has learned in the last 5, 6, 7 years that nothing is impossible in America if all of us work together to make it happen. And that's certainly the case, as America's consumers are really going out of their way to pick up products made and serviced in America and supporting our type of campaign. Our campaign promotes a positive idea every day of the week to do something. Just, you know, Mark, in your working with our broadcast, and by the way, I want to say, Mark is a volunteer. He does this because of his love of America. Rich is a volunteer. Larkin's a volunteer. Also, our guests are volunteers. Consider all the positive efforts our campaign promotes. Wouldn't it be unbelievable if the major news media just took a little bit of that example and spread it around? Everything you tune into, it's negative, negative, negative. Instead of them tuning into the graduation ceremonies and saying what positive the speakers had to say, they focus on the negative, that the one line that was thrown in, that we were focused on that. Some people in the crowd groaned when the speaker, the woman said this or the man said that. Just anything to break down the mind and heart and the good feeling of the American people. It can't continue. And, you know, when we urge people, people laughed 10 years ago. Jim, people laughed 10 years ago when I started beefing off to look for the Made in America labels. People said, people don't have time to do that. I say, why not? We're helping circulate the products that are made and assembled right here in the USA and keep people employed, resupplying the items. Mark, nobody knows that situation better than you. You sell, your suppliers are happy, they keep people on the job. Why can't our national leaders and our national media people get that message? What has made them so hardcore? I have no idea. Jim, you've been hearing what we say. Welcome to the broadcast again.
Oh, it's so great to be with you guys. I just need to pick up there. My one thought that comes to mind really is that I noticed when I was researching my book is that there are a lot of people in our universities and in the think tanks and in public office who really are in the thrall of this theory of free trade, and they still seem to think, despite all the evidence in the real world to the contrary, the trade is always a win-win, and it's a wonderful thing for Americans that they can get all these products for low prices, despite the fact that their lost jobs and low raises, wages far outweigh the benefit of those low prices. So a lot of them seem to be buying into it on a theoretical basis, and then I'm cynical enough to say some of them are buying into it because it's good business for them.
Yes, they are. And the merchandisers, Jim, merchandisers, you see, yeah. Merchandisers, could they be a big help to turn this thing around?
Well, they could, but again, that's on the profit side. They did a big campaign just last spring, I think, and they still continue to put out this propaganda about how wonderful it is to have these low-cost sources of these goods in the retail supply chain. So most of the retailers have bought into this, not realizing that they're killing the golden goose, and that the people, for example, the middle people in the middle of retail are just being wiped out, you know, Sears and Penny and all of those. So you're either in a dollar store or you're in a luxury goods, because they just didn't realize that by doing what they were doing, they were killing their customers.
That's what you're absolutely right. We've been saying that for so long, and nobody wants to in the major media. And I, by the way, I want you to know that our commentary for the Saturday broadcast goes out to over 1,000 media networks across the USA. We have them all on our email list. So people know, and sometimes I'll get a response from somebody, this is wonderful, I wish I could help you out, but our station has a different policy about promoting this stuff. We only advertise the products and services of our advertisers. That's, I mean, I get a real nice response. Like, you're sending it to me, I'm getting it, and if I ever could use it, I will. But at this point, we have to cater to our advertisers. So advertisers want that extra profit. But in the meantime, as you said, our stores are drying up. They're drying on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have nothing, no people to go in. Yes, Richard.
So, Jim, how you doing? And welcome back on air.
Oh, great to be with you guys, and especially after having been with Mark in person last Saturday.
How did you find the event?
I don't mean to interrupt, but wonderful. And it's so uplifting to see you were just talking about people doing what people say is impossible, and that's what Mark has done. You know, people said, that's impossible. Are you crazy? You're going to open a Buy American store? And now he's got seven of them and some in-store stores, and you just see this magnificent store he's built and people in buses coming in to buy the stuff. Just hats off to Mark as somebody who just doesn't get the idea of, oh, no, that can't be done.
Very good. See that, Mark? I'm telling you. And I by the way, guys, remember, Mark's link is listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. He'll ship the stuff out to you. Please use his services. Yes, Richard. Sorry.
Well, it's okay. No problem. And again, Jim, you know, I saw those photos, and you know, if knowing Mark, he probably gave you some heavy doses of Mickey D's food truck there. So probably went home and had to use the next hole on the belt when you got back home, knowing Mark there. So, you know, the thing, Michael, I want to say to Jim and to Mark and everyone here is that, you know, Larkin is very fond of saying on air, and he's quite correct about this point, what are the solutions? And when you really boil things down to their simplest common denominator, all that matters is action and turnout. Everything else is just talk and BS. You know, Mark is actually doing something for Made in America. Jim, you have a book. You wrote a book. You went out, published the book, spent many years. You've done something. And it's just everything before that is just BS. You know, you talk about the think tanks and the universities and how entrenched in those institutions that way of thinking is, Jim. And that's, you know, and that's because those institutions and organizations spent a lot of time and money to further their narrative, you know, their sales pitch to people. And there's no way, Mark, to get the country united when people don't know anything, don't do anything, and stay home. You know, if this election showed us anything, and I still think, Michael, that the actual motivating factors behind the election are still not reported on honestly in the Democrat media industrial complex, because you have to ask yourself, why is it that so many people who voted for President Obama now saw fit to vote for President Trump, candidate Trump at the time? And I think the very, very uncomfortable truth about this election is that more people than we realize really believed that 2016 was it for us. When Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it, he didn't say a republic, don't worry about it. He didn't say a republic, don't worry, anti-American forces will self-correct. He didn't say a republic, don't worry about coming out on election day, it doesn't matter. The key phrase in that statement was, if you can keep it. So what the implication was at the time was, if you want to hold on to this thing, this republic, this thing of ours, it's going to require action. Talk is great, but any dum-dum can talk. You know, it's like the book I've got coming out, Jim, right now, and one of the things that I say in there, I talk about the youth, and and how the youth are even more screwed than we realize, and it's really mostly not their fault. And I write in the book that any dumb can procreate. I mean, any idiot can have a kid, right? It actually requires work to be a parent, though. So it all comes down to what are people doing on a daily basis? Are they acting? Are they persistent? Are they involved? Do they know what's going on? Are they present? We have to, Mark, you know, mobilize our army to make sure that enough people really know what's going on. Because the more people who know what's going on, I'm confident that they're gonna side with us. I really think that. So the American people, and it's true of our history, guys, in 241 years, if there's one thing that Americans can be consistently relied upon, it's to go out and shock the world. So history, we're in that moment now. We have to make sure that the history books look favorably upon us, though. And it's going to be a hell of a lot of work, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, can I say hello to Jim? How you doing? I'm glad you'll talk to me again after that event. How are you today?
Oh, to the contrary. Great. It was just so great being there, Mark. Thanks. It was a real shot in the arm to be with you and the team you've built and that community. So I'm doing great. That was my favorite road trip I've taken in a long time.
You know, it was a great day. My face, I got sunburned. You would have thought I was down in Bahamas or something. I can't believe in Alma we get 7 sunny days, I think, a year, you know, and that was one of them. Came out of the clouds. But you met the family, your book setting, and that book, Jim, awesome job. You know, I did not, of course, read it all yet, but I started on the front and back covers and just reading the work you put into it, you can see, and it you know, you're going to have to get a book to the radio panel, not to put you on the spot, but I mean,
the book is
incredible, the work, and I love that you just didn't throw it together, and I could just tell by the chapters and everything that you talk about. I love how you open up with, you know, really standing up for our veterans and the people that gave us this freedom that we use and, you know, some take advantage of every day, you know. But it was wonderful to see. I asked, you know, one country, one goals, our mission, my company, it's one team, one goal, get healthy, get self-sufficient by building the most positive, helpful, disciplined team there is, right, and have passion and hunger. How do we do it? I mean, you seen positive when you were at my event, I think, just good people doing good things. You didn't see we're one way, we're with the American team, you know, and that's very hard to do, and I control that. And I just want to know, how do we carry that out? The American-made movie said, what is your part? That was their number one question. And, Rich, you almost brought that up. What is your part? We need an action plan. I'm not lip service, Jim. You met me. We're action, right? We're doing it. And we don't take no. We fall down. We get kicked down. We get back up, and we continually do that. That's the American don't quit gene, I call it, you know. But go ahead, Jim. What do you think? How do we do it? How do we start getting these people aligned and waking them up, being consistent, raising awareness? Your book's a great start. I mean, obviously. Rich is saying we need an action plan. Mm-hmm. What do you think to get this country going and getting people back on the same track? And what do you think people could do more of today, you know, letting go and forgetting about yesterday?
Well, the happy conclusion, you know, the thing I love about that book, and you're right, it was a lot of deep digging for a couple of years, almost 3 years, is that it has this happy last chapter. None of the other books on this subject, and none of them pulled all this information together, have anything at the end that we can really do. It's all about infrastructure spending and things that aren't going to really solve our problem. So, but what I concluded was really what I'd realized in the beginning is that consumers have the power to restart our economy. We can get a virtuous circle going again just through our buying decisions every day. And after this call, somebody can walk into a store, and they'll be surprised how often there's going to be a Made in America alternative for the thing they're looking for. And if it's something that's a little harder to find, they'll be surprised how easy it is to locate a source. Maybe it's your thing online, Mark, that where they could buy that thing just with a little forethought instead of waiting till the last minute to buy it. So I think that first what I try to do with the book is for people to recognize that we do have a serious problem and that our children's future is in jeopardy. To kind of raise the up the ante here for us to realize that this is not a sustainable path that we are on. And then to realize happily that we have the power to change that because we are 70% of the economy. And so what our every buying decision, every time we buy anything, we are making a moral decision on whether we want to support this economy and get it going again or not. So that's a happy thing because we realize, oh, my gosh, we are the problem, but we're also the solution.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jim, I can't agree more with you. And I want to just add something in here to put everything in sort of a perspective. And Mark and Rich and Larkin and Henry and all of us know this very well. As I go around, people tell me, my God, your ideas, all of you share such great ideas. And look what you've done as opposed to what some of our highest ranking elected leaders have been doing. We've been urging people for several years now to look for the Made in America label. When people go into stores, the people who own the stores and the managers and the salespeople see that there is a problem with the American people not liking the fact that everything that they have at their hands, in their hands, is foreign made. It's a bad example. By the way, we talked many times about school supplies. It's a bad example for our young people to have to go to school with uniforms made overseas, shoes made overseas, book bags made overseas, pencils made overseas, all sorts of loose leaf pads and everything else. It simply doesn't make sense. But more important is the people seeing it are now reporting it to their hierarchy that we are losing business because people are shopping around. They're looking for the American made label. Your book is correct. People have the power to do whatever is new. There's something very interesting that we've started through our Buy American Made campaign. And Jim, I'm going to ask for your advice and maybe your help with this. We started National Small Business Weekend, which is the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. We started that mainly because some of the businesses that advertise on our radio broadcast, we're on 7 days a week, so it takes a lot of advertisers to keep it going, have been telling us, you know, the big stores have been hurting us. And I said, well, we started promoting Small Business Saturday. They said, well, that's fine. That's once a year. How about on a regular basis? So we started to urge people, push this idea, National Small Business Weekend. And it worked. People are going back to the stores. They're going to the small stores. And I'd like to see one of the credit card companies or whatever that would start, you know, taking that as a part of their business plan. American Express did it for Small Business Saturday. Maybe one of the other credit card providers could do it for National Small Business Weekend, which takes place every month, not just once a year. We also started something a few years ago, American Made Month, to promote all of the stuff that's made in America during the month of November. We've been promoting all of these things, and of course our promoting the American Made label has been probably the best thing that we could have ever done, because now more people look with disgust in many cases to say, my God, that school uniform used to be made in Philadelphia or someplace in Pennsylvania. Now everything, you order it, 3 weeks later you pick it up, it's made in a foreign country. How long did it take to allow all that stuff to be escorted out of America? And Jim, you worked in Washington. What would it take to get national, state, and local leaders on the same sheet of music to make sure that they do something to promote the American Made label? What would you say for the people you worked for in Washington? Would any of them take up this challenge?
Well, it goes back to what Rich said. It's action and turnout. And I, having been on a congressional staff, I know that when the member of Congress is hearing directly from their constituents in a letter or an email or a town meeting that this is important to them and that they want the federal government to enforce, to really use its Buy American laws, for example, or their local school board to Buy American. When the people who are being elected are hearing from people about that, my experience was that they do listen, you know, if only because cynically they want to be reelected. So people have a larger voice than they think. And I would just say, having been there and someone who had actually draft a response to somebody for the congressman to sign, that they do listen loud and clear to input from their constituents.
You know, 25 years ago, a very lovely lady stopped me. She graduated college, Rutgers University, and then she said 25 years ago, most of the stuff that her merchandising company where she went to work with was selling, she said about 75% of it was American made. Mm-hmm. She said in the last 25 years, that has dried up. It's almost unbelievable because fast-talking merchandisers came in. They were well-spoken. They escorted over 77,000 businesses out of America to other parts of the world. And now she's still at the same place. She's now a partner in this place, but they have very little access, and she blamed it all on the merchandisers.
Well, yes. I mean, it was led by, well, it wasn't led by Walmart because some of the others got there first, but Walmart was the biggest and the best at it. And they were actually beating up their suppliers, saying, you've got to start getting your stuff in China. We're not going to pay those prices. So it was a big movement in the retail industry.
You know, Jim, somebody said something to me, and then I know that Rich wants to say something. Somebody saw your email that I send out with your picture of your four kids, and they made a comment to me. They said, Michael, just as it says on that, it haunts me as to what my children are going to do. I'm haunted, too, because they are graduating with wonderful, wonderful degrees. Mm-hmm. But as far as applications being accepted to hire them, few and far between. And that's where the problem is. We have a wonderful educational system in many cases, but no place to go. It's like being all dressed up and nowhere to go.
Mm. Well, Michael, you know, let me say something about that point about being haunted. You know, Jim and Mark, perhaps you guys can relate to this point. You know, one of the driving, motivating factors as I get closer to publication on my book, and we're going to talk more about it on air, one of the things that I tell people a lot, and I think it came out in this election also, which is why the momentum is on our side right now. You know, we do have the momentum on our side, despite the Democrat media industrial complex and all these other forces and factors, that what ultimately will make people act is when they get so uncomfortable that they feel they have no choice but to act. And that lady, Michael, who's haunted, that has to be turned into a positive, because if she in fact feels that way, and many others in fact feel that way, it would imply and suggest to me that they've reached a level of discomfort that they have no choice now but to go out and act and do something. Because remember, all that matters is action and turnout. That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
It matters, Jim. Right, Jim? In matters of politics, in matters of our consumer economy, ideas and policies are won and lost democratically. It's why we were founded as a constitutional republic and not a pure-style Greek democracy, because the founders thought a pure-style Greek democracy, based on their understanding of history, and they were correct, was a terrible idea. Why? Because today we have a Second Amendment, and then tomorrow half plus one decide we don't have it anymore. So that's why we weren't created, or any other amendment you'd like to, or right you'd like to put in there. So ultimately, all that matters now is enough people thought during the election, my life, my place in the United States has gotten uncomfortable for me, and I need to try to make a change. You know, I've cited and quoted before the comment from Vice President Biden, who once said, you know, people don't expect the government to fix all their problems, but they do expect government to understand their problems. And anybody who thinks that Hillary Clinton understood their problems is living in a detached utopian reality, Jim, that I just don't inhabit that world. And I don't think you do, and I don't think Mark Larkin, Michael Henry, I don't think any of you guys do. I don't think we're living in that utopian world of free stuff, doobies, get high, hug a terrorist. I don't think we're in that world. I think we're in the world of, we've got some we've got some problems now that if they're not rectified, we're not gonna be in a position to be able to fix them. Because once something gets to the point, Jim, right, where it just can't be stopped. It's like trying to outrun a tsunami. It just can't be done. And I think a lot of people felt that way. And I think correctly they felt that way. So they translated, Michael, their discomfort into action. They got off their butts and they went out to the polls and they cast a vote. Now, that's great. But the only thing is, Jim, voting is where it begins. It's not where it ends. That's just the start of this all.
Yes, well, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I want to add to something. I mean, you have a little daughter now, Isabella Rich, and I have a granddaughter, and my daughters go out and go shopping, and of course Father's Day is coming, and of course I don't want anything that's not American made, but it's a bad example for most people to take the young people and their family out shopping. And if they start looking at the labels, there's nothing made in the country of where they live. And why is that? What you're doing is you're looking on the racks and saying, these boys and girls are not going to have a future, whether it's making the stuff, selling the stuff, making new technology that will bring about better, products, newer products. They're not going to have a job. And that's the thing that haunts a lot of people. This is something that I hear everywhere I go. And people are agreeing 1,000% with the idea that we have to keep more of our hard-earned dollars right here in the USA by purchasing more stuff made in America and going out to our local stores, not just fly into the big Walmarts and the other outlets, but go to the local stores, get friendly with the owners of the stores, support them. That is where you'll have a bigger opportunity to ask them to support American-made products, up to their suppliers.
Yeah. And Mike, you got to believe in it. Jim, when you came to my store, first time we've ever met and, in person, and were you impressed with the product that took 7 years to gather and, the homework done? Were you surprised to see what Americans are still making?
Well, I was not surprised because I've been researching it for, so much, but I loved being able to feel it and touch it, Mark. I mean, it's just so great seeing the people that are still making, these cast iron pans and these, the metal products that your company makes. It's really wonderful to be able to feel it and touch it and realize that they've managed somehow to tough it out.
Yeah, neat that you realize and respect that a person made that product, because at my General Welding, next time you're up, we'll give you a full tour of hardworking Americans, steel-toed Americans working here, right? So making that product, but the pride that goes into it, that when people make, it's rewarding to make a product and then sell it, and it's rewarding to get a paycheck to feed your family, so that whole we got to continue to be consistent with our message. We always try to raise awareness. This radio show, thanks to Mike, does a wonderful job at that, but we got to raise awareness and be consistent. But I love that you found out what I found out, Jim, that really the answer is the consumer. You vote with the dollar. After everybody listens to the show, go out tonight and look at what you're buying and buy an American piece. You made a big difference.
Right. Absolutely. And we're coming up on Memorial Day this week. This Monday, Memorial Day, we're going to be honoring all those that died for America. But we also have to remember, as you're out there going on those Memorial Day sales and all, make sure you look for American made, because today's veterans are coming home and they need a job. Today's young people are graduating and they need jobs. And the list goes on and on. There's nothing more satisfying than to have a job, to do a job, get paid for a job well done, and go enjoy your time with yourself, your family, however, but it's in order for you to have a living. Mark, that's one thing that you must have said 1,000 times over the years. You're concerned about people being able to make a living, and that's really important.
Yeah, it's about livelihoods, and people forget about livelihoods. A lot of people told me, Mark, you're only one vote. But, you know, Rich, you used to challenge me a lot. You know, everybody can't be as patriotic. You know, businessmen are just about making a buck, and you were absolutely right. But we have to take now we have to realize, wait, there's a lot more to this game. You have to make sure there's enough jobs for your population.
Yes, absolutely. And we are a growing population. If you want to see the statistics about what's been happening in America, check out the U.S. debt clock on the right side of the front page. It's frightening. And by the way, you can go back 20 years and see how it was and how it is today. We've done this because our leaders looked the other way as things were happening in America. They just figured, things will get better on their own. Nothing gets better on your own. You fall, and all of a sudden you get a big scratch on your leg. You try to nurse it back to health. We haven't had leaders trying to nurse America back to health. They keep giving us this crazy excuse. Well, we live in a free market economy, Michael Bliash, you know, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They throw me that, you know, all the bull and everything else. And I am one that I try to be, you know, respectful, but sometimes I have to be, you know, the way I am and just tell them off. I say, it's because of people like you, and some of them have been in there for 30, 40 years. You know, even in the human services, in the service area, a lot of those people, they don't really care about poverty or jobs. To them, it's just a job they report to every day. Where my question is, if with all these people being paid to address poverty, why has poverty continued to grow? With all these people working in the departments of labor and industry, why have we continued to lose jobs? It doesn't make any kind of sense to me.
Well, that's what I tried to get at in the book, is let's just cut through all that, the root problem. And the reason we have all this joblessness and poverty is because we've been so busily sending jobs overseas now for not 30, but 70 years. So you know, when you're creating job deserts in our communities by sending the jobs overseas, why are we surprised that we have poverty and joblessness?
Absolutely. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is a link on the front page of American Workers Radio. On the right side, you'll see Jim Stuber's picture, and you'll be able to access his book and information how to get that book. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to pause for 2 minutes just to acknowledge our sponsors of the day, and I want to thank them. And as we come to Memorial Day, they ask that you remember to go out and celebrate the occasion with family and friends, and but also commemorate the idea of all those who fought and died for America and deserve to be honored. And I have best wishes for a Memorial Day holiday from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law of Philadelphia, from Mr. Chester Kshanovsky and all of the staff from Serena's Auto Body Shop, and Mr. Joseph Drobot, national president of the PRCUA, joins Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and Dr. Eva Machak, a great dentist in Philadelphia, along with Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and wishing all of you a very enjoyable holiday, and go out also and honor our veterans. And the people at Polka Deli, the Kucharski family at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as the Polish American Travel Service on Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, and Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Bank, along with Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, wish all of you an enjoyable holiday and encourage you to support your local events honoring Memorial Day. And also, I have best wishes to you and yours from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union, and you can check them out on the internet by going to psfcu.com. And if you're in Philadelphia and you're looking to do something special, the Sugar House Casino reminds you that they are located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. You can check them out anytime by going to sugarhousecasino.com. And also, may I encourage you to check out Mark Andel's store. Go to madeinamericastore.com and see what you can get for Father's Day. We are going to have 4th of July coming up. He has flags and everything else that he would be able to send you. Check out Mark's site at madeinamericastore.com. And if you want a great book to read, check out Jim's book link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And also, in behalf of all of our panel members, I'm Michael Blihosh. We have Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and our guest, Jim, today. I want to thank all of you for all that you're doing to bring attention to the fact that America needs jobs and job skills. And the only way we're going to do that is if we keep circulating more of our hard-earned money, not around the world, but here in the United States of America. You know, Jim, Rich and Mark and Larkin and I, we've been promoting the idea of what if we could get back to just 50% of everything that is sold in America being made in America again. What do you think that would do for our economy?
Well, we'd create several million jobs. When I was doing my research, I learned that 95% of our clothing is made abroad now, but now 70% of the furniture that we buy is made overseas, and there are similar percentages in some other industries. So if we were to move that needle, I concluded that if we were just to bring home $500 billion of consumer spending, now remember, we're 70% of a $17 trillion economy. So just bring home $500 billion, enough to balance trade, not stop buying abroad altogether. We create 6 million jobs. So that could take the slack out of the economy and get us going on a virtuous circle again.
Well, that's what we're all about. Mark, what do you have to add to that?
No, I worry sometimes. Right now, I got oil and mining work coming back. I've got military work coming back. I finally got the work I want. The most frustrating part, guys, is I can't find workers. And we've talked about this and talked about it. Well, I'm in it again, and it's frustrating when you finally get the work you want. So I'm working with the BOCES. I'm working with the Alfred College, Penn State, Ohio Tech, calling around. But we need – I always said I'll take somebody with farm work ethic and I could work with them. And that's because they know how to work. And I worry sometimes that the want to work is gone. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but you got to want to – provide for yourself too, and sometimes in our culture I think we wash it out with different ways in schooling. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I noticed, for example, one of the bad things we've been doing is saying, oh, the answer to all of our problems is for everybody to get a college education. And the flip side of that is demeaning good technical industrial hard work. And I think we need to change that ethic in America and to hold that up as something to be proud of and desirous to do, support a family doing that kind of work.
You know, Jim and everybody, Rich, what do you think if we start promoting the idea of graduating people with a special degree in technology or whatever we want to have them as welders or whatever, give them the degree as well as the education that we would be giving the traditional people? We got to give people more choices. In other words, I keep hearing that everywhere I go, people tell me there's no skilled workers. There's no skilled workers. I said, well, how the hell did that happen?
Mike,
how can we have no
shortage.
Skilled workers?
Yeah, I'm living it. It's incredible, the shortage. You cannot find people.
Well, that in itself is a slap in the face to every elected official sending money to the states and not demanding that the state have a regulation that everybody has to graduate with at least one skill needed in today's economy in America.
I've said before on air, guys, as anybody, and the way, Michael, I'm gonna respond to your statement in question is that when you're out and about talking with people, ask them if they really know what's going on at our colleges and universities today. Our colleges and universities have become sheeple breeding grounds for hopeless, useful, idiot Democrats. So not exactly the skills necessary, Jim, to go out to the real world and succeed, irrespective of what industry or what the economy looks like for us. And I actually don't fault the young people for that. So if people aren't really aware of what's going on around our schools, universities, public education, higher education, and all of the many think tanks and organizations that push their narrative of collectivism and globalism, then it's really hard, Jim, to fight back and have a strategy if people don't really know what's going on around them. So first things first is, be present, be perceptive, and be persistent and take action. Once we start doing that, once people know what's going on, then that's the first step to actually going and combating this stuff.
And there are rays of hope. In my own school system, we have a wonderful technical school that is now giving a certificate in the particular track that you pursue. So you have a piece of paper that says, I am certified as being skilled in this thing, whether it's computer-aided manufacturing or, you know, whatever it is. So I think there are rays of hope. I think we're waking up that we need to be more like Germany than we are. But again, it's going to take turning around what people aspire to and their value system.
Very well said. You know, Jim, we've been hawking the idea of going to the school boards and, you know, asking them to restore the tech trades and technologies. What they've been saying is, well, they've been out of existence for so long, it's not financially possible for us to restore them. My argument,
local companies can help with that. You know, they can right. work together, like Mark.
Absolutely. But see, it takes work to get everybody yeah. working on the same sheet of music. The orchestra gets together and practices. These people don't want to practice with the school boards. They just want to throw money at something and think it's going to go away. It's yep. not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we're getting close to the time to say goodbye. First of all, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Henry is going to send out a rebroadcast of today's show. I encourage you to send it to your family members and friends, because this is how we're getting the message that we have to support one another. Fellow American has to support fellow American, circulate our dollars within our economy. Thanks to Jim Stuber for joining us today. I want to thank Mark Andel for being with us and for always sponsoring these great events and telling us all the good that he's doing to promote America. And Rich Logis, as always, was very informative and entertaining. And thank you, Henry, for all that you do. I wish all of you a very, very enjoyable Memorial Day. Kindly go out and support your local Memorial Day parades and events, and remember what the holiday is all about. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, best wishes. Have a great one.
Have a good week, guys, and happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's been great being with you. Take care.